Good evening. Start out with a little introspection for each of us this evening, and that's with the question, what are your weaknesses? Don't need to tell those out loud, but just think on those. What would you say are your weaknesses? Areas of your life in which you would recognize a lack of strength. We're going to look at a word tonight, weakness, and that's literally what that word means in the Greek, a lack of strength. So that weakness may be physically, or maybe physical, it may be mental, maybe emotional, maybe social, maybe spiritual. And we know that the way that God has designed us, that what affects us in one of those areas affects us in other areas of our lives. What are your weaknesses? Weaknesses that are a result of your humanity, and weaknesses that result because of your unique humanity as you. What are your weaknesses? The second question I'd like for us to reflect on is, what is your attitude toward those weaknesses? Honestly, what is your attitude toward your weaknesses? As you think about that attitude, I'll ask you, even if you can't change the weaknesses, would you like to change your attitude towards your weaknesses? Now, you can be sure that I've already asked myself these questions and sought to answer them as I ask you. And we're going to look at some verses over in 2 Corinthians tonight. And I want to start in chapter 11 at the end of the chapter, and we're going to just quickly read through this passage that Paul is writing as he is defending himself, his apostleship, and he has started doing what he calls is foolish. It's boasting, but he is seeing the necessity of that, and he kind of turns that in a very interesting direction by the Spirit of God in this passage. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 30. And verse 30 is really what brought my attention to this. But we're going to read on through the 10th verse of chapter 12. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. And notice the weaknesses. And also you'll see the word infirmity or infirmity. Same word in the Greek. And depending on your translation, you may have weakness or infirmity, and probably some of both, but they're the same word in the Greek, and the word weak that you'll see in there, it's also from the same root. So here we go, verse 30. Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As we look at these verses, read these verses, the title of this little devotional tonight is Your Powerful Weaknesses. Your Powerful Weaknesses. I want us to just briefly consider three reasons that your weaknesses should be viewed as powerful. First of all, your weaknesses as a platform for Christ's power. Your weaknesses as a platform for Christ's power. We think of a platform as something from which maybe a movement is going to be launched, or an attack is going to be launched, or a philosophy is going to be launched. Maybe it's a product is going to be launched. And here we find a platform for the power of Christ. That's your weaknesses. A Christ's power is exercised by Him. In verse 9, we read that it's the power of Christ. It belongs to Him. It's His power. And the omnipotent God retains control over His power, and He has decreed that it is displayed even, not only, but even through the platform of human weakness. Christ's power is exercised by Him, and it's experienced by you. Paul had that experience. We see there in verse 9, he said, God's strength is made perfect in weakness, and he's speaking of his own human weakness. And in verse 10, we finished up with that little sentence, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The word for strong and strength in these verses are the word for ability, the dunamis. Dynamite, our English word, comes from that. And living out the power of Christ in your everyday life, as you deal with difficulties and challenges and problems because of your weakness and in your weakness, we can experience the power of Christ. H.C.G. Moule said, it is only under the discipline of self-despair that thou wilt fully use me. That was his prayer. It is only under the discipline of self-despair that thou wilt fully use me. Weakness. Weakness. Christ's power is exercised by Him and experienced by you and examined by others. When weaknesses are visible, and it appears that Paul's thorn in the flesh was something that was visible to others, this weakness that God was using in his life, and yet it was a messenger of Satan. It was something he had in his humanity and in his unique humanity for him. And other people see those weaknesses. And as they see your weaknesses, and then they see God working in you and through you, they conclude that this must be of God. Because there's no way that person could have done. There's no way that could be of you. Because they recognize, as they did with Paul, they could see the weakness. They could experience his weakness. And yet they saw the power of God working. It's a testimony to his power. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, the same book here, chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Can you see how your weaknesses can actually serve as a platform for God's power to be exercised by Him, to be experienced by you, as Paul experienced it, and to be examined by others that they might see His power? Your weakness is a platform for God's power, for Christ's power. Secondly, your weaknesses and the power of the triune God. Is there any greater power than the power of the triune God? No. God the Son understands your weaknesses. You might say, oh, Mark, you don't know what went through my mind is my weakness. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In essence, as the way Paul wrote that, we could kind of simplify it down to this. We do have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. In 2 Corinthians 13:4, same chapter the next chapter, we read that Christ was crucified in weakness. Crucified in weakness as a human being. He took on humanity. We read in Matthew 8:17 that Isaiah prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He himself took our infirmities. He understands your weaknesses. God the Holy Spirit helps you in your weaknesses. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We could look down through the list, and I look down through the list of all the prayer requests tonight. Every one of those could be classified as a weakness. Every one of them. In every one of them, we're acknowledging there's something we cannot do, and therefore we need to come to God with it. The Spirit of God helps you in your weakness. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. But the Spirit of God knows what to pray, and He's interceding for you, helping you in your weakness. He doesn't leave you all alone. And God the Father uses your weakness. In Galatians 4:13, Paul says, "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. It was all because of my own weakness," he told the Galatians, "that God brought me here." That's the avenue. That was the platform. That was the opportunity I had to preach the gospel and for you to hear the gospel. Because of my weakness, because of my infirmity. Do you see how the power of God enters into your weaknesses? The triune God and His power has invaded your very being as a believer in the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Himself understands, and the Spirit of God intercedes. God is using, He will use your weaknesses. Lastly, your weaknesses from the perspective of Paul. Identify here with Paul. Look, we won't go there, but in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3, Paul says, "I was with you in weakness." That's what he told this same local church in another letter. "I was with you in weakness." And we began our reading at verse 30 in chapter 12. Verse 29, he asks a question, "Who is weak? And I am not weak." He understands himself. And so two things here as we think about our weaknesses from the perspective of Paul. First of all, rather than hide my weaknesses, now this is really going to sound strange and counterintuitive, but rather than hide my weaknesses, what does Paul say? I should boast in them. I want to boast about something. He had a lot of stuff he could boast about, and he lists them in other places, and I'm not going to boast about that. In fact, a lot of it, he said, I counted as refuse. But I'll tell you what I'll boast in. Now, he did boast in Christ, but when it came to himself, he said, I boast in my weaknesses. The natural human tendency is to minimize our weaknesses in the view of other people and maximize our strength. But you see, Paul said, no, we need to boast in our weaknesses. Because when we boast in our weaknesses, we are boasting in God, whose power will be seen. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go around and brag about how weak you are and all your problems, and I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we should be willing to be transparent enough that people can see that it's not that person who's doing that. No, that's a weak person. That person has weaknesses. So rather than hide my weaknesses, I should boast in my weaknesses. And then, rather than just enduring my weaknesses, it's getting even harder when you look there at verse 10. Look at verse 10 again so you'll know I'm not making it up. What does Paul say? Therefore, I take pleasure and infirmities. Now you're going to say, Paul has turned into some type of masochist. You know, he loves to bring inflict pain on himself. No, that's not what he's saying. You know, the natural human tendency is to seek escape from weaknesses, but Paul actually had grown spiritually to the place where he could take pleasure in them, not in some weird, sick sort of way, but rather through faith in God. He recognized that in his weaknesses, God was empowering him, like those in Hebrews chapter 11. I think it was verse 34 or verse 37. I can't remember which one, but one of those, we read that through faith, power, strength was brought out of weakness. And that's what God does. And that's what Paul experienced in his life. And he said, you know what? I want so badly for God's power to be seen in my life that I'm willing to have these weaknesses. Now, there are some weaknesses that we thought of, and they're things that God is wanting to change in our lives. And we need to yield those things to God, and we need to allow Him to get that out of us if it's not of the Lord Jesus. But there are other things in our lives that God purposely has allowed to be there. He made you like that, or maybe He allowed you to be brought up in a certain environment that impacted you in a certain way. He's allowed you to have certain diseases or illnesses or problems. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get better. Paul told Timothy, take some wine for your stomach's sake. He wasn't saying don't try to get better. That's not the point. But when we see our weaknesses, that we can trust God and embrace our weaknesses to the point of boasting in them. And taking pleasure in them. Now I've got a long way to go personally. You can pray for me to get there, but I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to be able to boast in my weaknesses and take pleasure in my weaknesses. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, and I expect all of you have heard of Hudson Taylor. Some of you have read his biographies. He knew the secret of strength through weakness. One time a friend complimented Hudson Taylor on the impact of his mission, and here was Hudson Taylor's answer. It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find a man who was weak enough to do His work. And when He at last found me, He said, "He is weak enough. He'll do." Could God look at you and look at me, and if we are willing to embrace our weaknesses and say, "Lord, thank you." Paul prayed 3 times to get rid of that thorn in the flesh, so he's not saying don't pray that it gets better. But at the same time, as I see that weakness in my character, my personality, my body, then I need to say, "Lord, if you can use that in my life, somehow if you can use me and let others see you through me, where they see me and say, that's got to be God. Lord, let it be. And I'll take pleasure in that because I want to please you more than I want to be pleased myself." Might the Lord look around and find somebody weak enough. Look around this room and said, "They're weak enough. They'll do. I can use them." I believe Hudson Taylor obviously embraced his weaknesses as Paul did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, what a joy to sing of your Son and to survey the wondrous cross in song. And then, Lord, to share our needs with each other. And Lord, then to just unite our hearts and voices together and bring it up to you and say, "Lord, we are weak people. And those in our lives are weak people, Lord. We need you. Lord, we want you to change these things in our lives. But Lord, until you do, and if you choose never to change some of these things, we pray, Lord, that these weaknesses will allow them to be a platform for your power to be seen. Lord, that we will rejoice that your Son understands and identifies with us, and your Spirit is within us. He is interceding when we don't even know what to pray. And Father, you are willing to use these things in our lives to open up opportunities. Lord, help us not to be so caught up with self-pity that we miss the opportunities that you're making available. Lord, help us to grow to that point in our own lives where we can boast in our weaknesses, and Father, where we can take pleasure in our weaknesses, even as your servant Paul did, and as your servant Hudson Taylor did. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And the Lord bless you in your weakness and use you mightily for his glory.